You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL Podcast. It's another show with Levi.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. Got heroes here, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. And yes, you are in the iconic Levi jacket.
You're lucky that I, you know, complied from a wardrobe standpoint.
Right.
I had been here, you know, with more time, I was going to switch into a button-down
what
shirt.
What a coincidence it is that you're wearing the jacket when that drop hits.
Yeah, it's a day that ends in Y. We lucked out.
And also with us, listen, it's been a while since he's been on ATN, and we're happy to have him. If Rich Eisen is the face, then this man is the conscience of NFL media. You know who it is.
Yes.
Steve hey. Weish.
Oy, oy.
He's the one with that white hair, man. I think it's like wisdom or something. Ooh,
Steve Weish.
Oh, man.
Steve Weish.
You guys, man. Knows a bit about football. This is awesome. A bit about life.
Steve Weish. I have to say, we've had so many great songs submitted by our listeners through the years.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's anything better than the Steve Weish theme.
I mean, that's effort. I mean, I am just so like...
It sounds very professional.
Humble, but it sounds really professional. We have to get Tua to play this on the in-season Hard Knocks. He's a big reggae fan there. So
he was great on the Manning cast.
He was great. You playing guitar?
Some guitar. Yeah. I would roll around town listening to this on loop.
Yeah, nothing like Tears of Heaven to really bring the party going.
Evan Hornsby with that.
Well done.
Banger.
Yes.
It's very good. All right, we got Steve here. I love it.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Big show. A little housekeeping before we get going. We got so much to get to. We're going to do open up the mailbag. We're going to check in on that TNF banger. What's the over-under at now? Is it in the 20s?
I will check. I believe it. They kept it at 30.
It keeps sinking.
Pittsburgh, New England. We're going
to
play.
It made it to 30?
It's at 30
and
a half right now.
It fell down to 30, yes.
Oh, it's down to 30.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to get some news, but just so little palace intrigue for around the NFL. Today, Steve, was picture day for around the NFL.
I love it.
Yeah, and Greg and I were here. Mark wasn't, and you told us you had a perfectly good reason not to be here.
Yeah.
So we're good with that, Greg? Are we cool in-house with Mark?
I mean, we have to be, right? We have to be. We were here. We took the pictures.
And it was supposed to be headshots and then group photos.
Which I did not know that second part, but I couldn't have changed my plan.
Right. It was right there in the email. It was all very clear. But we got you. So we asked, what was her name? Maddie?
Maddie, of course.
Maddie, who did an awesome job. We did this. We got one of the shots. Check it out on YouTube. We made sure to kind of leave a spot for Mark. And then I went ahead.
Thank you.
And I took care of this and did a little Photoshop to get you. And I know Camp Happiness is your favorite era. So here is the other photo. There we go.
Yes.
So this will be the photo. And,
unbelievable.
And yes, we'll send it out.
Oh, then I don't need to.
You're coming.
You're good.
We got you.
All right, cool.
I got your back.
You know, slightly ominous that the first group shot in about a decade doesn't include me. I don't know what that means for the future, but I took a child to the dentist today, so I hope that it works as a...
We got your back.
All right.
We're good. We're good.
That was from high school, that picture, by the way. That was not from summer camp.
That's not from Camp Happiness?
No.
All right, I'll get back to work.
Ridiculous field near my house.
You do look like you could, you know, use some lotion or some sunscreen.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah. No, dangerous sunburn back then.
All right, Steve.
You can Photoshop.
Sorry, Steve.
I mean, on the promo, on the photo for NFL Game Day preview, it's Photoshop. So like Andrew Siciliano and I are at the same height. So they can get you in there. You'll be fine. Just take a new photo.
They've got the skills. Yeah,
really I was saying we took some photos of Greg and I, and we're not a good match in photos because it makes me look bigger and Greg looks smaller. And of course, Greg's like, nah, I don't see that. And he's like, well,
I was like, we look good. We look great.
I thought you looked stunning, the two of you. Nice to meet you.
Here we go, Steve.
Yes, yes.
You have a Derwin James interview, so we can't be like pussyfooting around here. You know?
It's all right. Derwin will wait.
Yeah, you can wait. Let's do it. Let's get it. We got so much to get to. Let's start though with some news.
You see DK set the record?
We know.
This year?
Fastest ball carry? 35.
Over 22 miles an hour. Still as fast as ever in his fifth year in the league.
22.6. I hit 23 my rookie year. I probably will never hit that again.
That is Tyreek Hill from the Hard Knocks in season.
Which is amazing.
The Dolphins.
Which is spectacular.
Really? I have not checked it out yet.
Great. Yeah. Okay. It is great.
Mm. And as I've said many times in the show, Next Gen, big Next Gen, doesn't want people to know that everyone goes 21 miles per hour. But we're starting to see some cracks and movement there, because DK on Thursday night on that 75-yard touchdown cracked 22. And there's Tyreek. I believe him when he was a rookie before he got a little older and some injuries, was hitting 23. So we're starting to move away from 21 miles per hour. That's good.
This is a big Dan's been on this beat.
I can tell
for
he's,
a while.
He's hung up on this.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve? You ever have like a pick six or anything in college or in the pros and you were able to get?
Never in the pros.
Come on. What are we talking about here?
You never know. Did you ever hit 20, you think?
No, because back when I was playing, everything was kind of being measured by sand dials. Mm. There was no such thing as next gen sports. So maybe, you know, if a shadow moved
sand
a little
dials.
Bit in front, that worked. You know, I was on the Sophocles time scale. We were definitely Socrates, not Sophocles. But no.
All right, good to know.
Did you have a pick six, though? In any time in your play?
In high school, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. In front of all your classmates are watching you achieve that way.
I've had some big house runs.
That's great.
Quarterback, about a 65-yard quarterback sneak to the house.
Hell yeah.
Oh no, I've got.
Why
a nice
can't
little...
we do? If they gave Jake Browning a full segment about his high school exploits a few weeks ago, why don't we just drop it into game day morning?
I don't know if Weiss had 91 touchdowns in a season, but
I don't have 91 touchdowns in a season. I'd have 91 touchdowns in a career. And again, there's probably video of Jake Browning.
Right.
Mine was like on tape that has warped. And
Steve is 114 years old,
yes,
based on developments
of
today's
show. Helmets. Yes.
All right. Let's get to it. We'll start with Trevor Lawrence, the Jaguars quarterback who suffered that high ankle sprain on Monday night. Man, it looked bad when it happened. But here is the good news. The injury is not one that ends a season. And on top of that, there's a report from Jeff Howe of The Athletic that he is going to, quote, rehab around the clock this week to give himself a chance to play through his high ankle sprain, per sources. Too early to know how the ankle will respond and whether he'll be available Sunday, but they are not ruling it out. Here is Doug Peterson on the situation.
So starting with Trevor, obviously, it's just a right high ankle sprain. Everything's stable. Everything looks good. And we'll see where he is here in a couple of days.
One of those injuries that you just don't know how
right
serious it's going to be, because there's different high ankle sprains. Kenny Pickett required the surgery. Trevor Lawrence isn't getting that. I even think of Ryan Tannehill. He's had multiple high ankle sprains. Some he just played through, essentially. Some he's missed, you know, 2-3 weeks. This week seems like a stretch, but they do have a Ravens Sunday night game in week 15. So maybe he's pointing towards only missing one game. It's still just the way that they were talking today. He's definitely not going to practice.
At Cleveland.
Like, that would be a big surprise. And they could potentially lose their lead in the division if they lose two games with that.
Sitting at 8-4, that is a nasty two-pack of games. The Browns are pretty banged up, too. But if you have C.J. Beathard in there, who didn't look terrible in relief, but that's a completely different situation. Trevor Lawrence is very tough to prepare for.
Well, I mean, look, they're playing Cleveland, which is going to be either Flacco or DTR. If the Jags defense can come up and make a couple plays, which they should be able to do, I mean, it gives them an opportunity. This is one where you say, okay, we're playing a backup quarterback. One way or another, one's coming out of concussion protocol or one who's playing in a second NFL game. So our defense should be able to get us there. If we're as good as we think we are defensively, if you want to win the division, you win these type of games and you have your backup quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, I would say they probably felt the same way about Jake Browning, and that was a bit of a national surprise. But
you think? I mean, Browning was pretty spectacular in that game.
He was.
In other news, Vikings quarterback Josh Dobbs will start on Sunday against the Raiders. This, speaking of palace intrigue, I think it kind of went on everyone's attendance a little bit after the Monday night loss to the Bears before their bye week. O'Connell came out in the postgame presser and was like, yeah, you know, we're going to have to evaluate everything. Who makes Justin Jefferson the most dynamic? Here is Kevin O'Connell after making the decision to stick with Dobbs.
I want to address the quarterback position. We will be starting Josh Dobbs in the football game on Sunday. Feel great about kind of our bye week process of really, you know, two layers to it, evaluating kind of where Josh has been as far as immediately providing a spark and helping us win two football games. And then, you know, transitioning to some tough, you know, tough outcomes where there's all kinds of things that we could do better. We could coach better. Josh's continued comfort in our offense and how we play, but also our offense and our staff's ability to evolve and help Josh thrive.
Hmm. He added that Nick Mullins, the backup, will be ready to go. There's also a rookie in the mix, Jaren Hall. Greggy, I liked your theory. This is the team around the NFL, by the way. So this is an important decision being made by the head coach. I liked your theory. Throw it out there. Now, this isn't based on any reporting, but I kind of
No, because he caught us off guards, Kevin O'Connell, right after that game. And then the Monday after, saying how he's going to have to look at everything, including the quarterback position, and changes could be made. And my theory was in that game when Dobbs was throwing interception after interception. Maybe at that point, you know, they're having a conversation. It's like, whatever you do, just don't turn the ball over anymore. Or, you know, be careful, this or that. Like, in Dobbs, that fourth interception he had in that game was one of the worst interceptions anyone had all season. He's just, like, falling down Jameis Winston style, throws it to nowhere. And I think it kind of blew Kevin O'Connell's mind there for a couple days, and he had to calm down emotionally. But I'm glad to see Josh Dobbs over Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins leading the team of Around the NFL podcast just doesn't have the same
vibe. Things grow dark at that point.
Well, I mean, Dobbs also. I mean, when the guy came there, I mean, look, he's moving. He's doing all this stuff. It gives him the immediate spark. But that's one where a coach has to say, okay, this is one where my guy got the yips in a game, where everything just came, the snowball came downhill. It was a total collapse. If we start seeing it in the next game, then we can go to Nick Mullins. But right now, we're going to give him another shot.
And build an offense around him. He's a very different quarterback, and this gives him a week to do that.
Well, that bye week came at the ideal time.
It really did.
In other quarterback news, more Palace intrigue. This one out of Florham Park in New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
The New York Jets dealt with a major, major drama around Zach Wilson. We talked about the backstory with this, that word had gotten out and reported by The Athletic that Wilson was apprehensive about returning to his starting role 2 weeks after he had been benched by the Jets, citing concerns about his health and, you know, an uncertain future that likely doesn't involve the Jets. Bob Saleh, that's poor guy. I know I'm coming down hard on Saleh and the Jets in general on the show lately, but I really do like Robert Saleh. He seems like a really good and decent man, and he is not in a good situation, and it just things are snowballing on him, and he's the face of it. So it's just kind of, I can be frustrated as a fan, but also I feel badly for Saleh. So now here he is announcing that indeed Zach Wilson will be his quarterback on Sunday.
Zach gives us our best chance to win, and giving him another opportunity to go prove that.
How did that conversation go when you told him?
He was good. He's fired up. Like I said, on Monday, he came into my office. He wants the ball, and he's excited about getting this opportunity to finish the season strong.
So is he your starter the rest of the year, no matter what?
God willing.
Oh, man. Steve.
God willing is not where I would have gone with that. But
Aaron Rodgers on the McAfee show on Tuesday, he kind of scolded the whole Jets locker room for too many leaks this season. And ESPN reported that what likely happened, per a source, is that Wilson asked a teammate for advice on the risk reward of playing a late season game with no playoff implications. And from that, word got out that he had reservations. So someone in that locker room, Steve, kind of snitched on Wilson based on that reporting.
Or the front office or somebody in the building.
Right. Somebody snitched on Wilson and you know, just an ugly situation.
It's terrible. I mean, this is one thing, you know, look, I love Robert Saleh. I think he's a fantastic man. And he has been put in a very bad spot because the organization sold out for Aaron Rodgers and he got hurt. Like, right. No one saw this coming. And so now, when this reporting happened that, you know, Zach Wilson was reluctant to play, I'm like, tell me a time when a player has really had an option to say, I really don't want to go back in there and not get cut. Right? That was what was up there. The Robert Saleh says, we will cut you or suspend you without pay and basically shame you to where no other team is going to want to touch you to make you look like a quitter, or you're going to come back in and start because we need you right now. We know we've yo-yoed back and forth, whatever. So it was just multifaceted dysfunction with this. Either Zach Wilson just comes off looking as somebody completely ungrateful, spoiled, and doesn't want to play, or he comes off as looking, he has every right to feel this way. But at the same time, you're getting paid handsomely. You have to go out and do your job. Do you think Garrett Wilson, some of these guys want to be out there? We've seen Jonathan Allen with the Commanders be like, geez, it sucks going back out there and getting their butt kicked every week. But they are in a profession that they're compensated for, most people very handsomely. And a bunch of people would love to have their pain, their dysfunction. So go out there and do it, man.
It does feel like the season started with such hope. I've never seen Dan kind of feel that way about his Jets. And it obviously quickly fell off a cliff. But now the team feels like last year where there's this fractures. And I don't like what Zach Wilson, I don't like where he's coming from, not wanting just to go play like anyone should. But if you go and tell a teammate or you seek advice or counsel, you are a young player. Again, I feel like a lot of Zach Wilson
That also sounds like spin. I feel like for it to be as widespread as it was like, well, people knew it.
Yeah, I think you're right. But it's not, if it was a teammate or something like that, and then that person went and just told someone else away. It just sort of speaks to like the whole thing is falling apart in such ugly fashion.
They don't want to play. A lot of these players, especially skill players, they've been done with Zach for a year now.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you could kind of see why it would get out, but it does show. I was saying, Rodgers, what has he actually done for my team so far? So I have frustration with him, but he's right. It's like, if you want to actually be an organization that has it together, the first thing you got to do is stop leaking things to the media and creating more of a circus. Clean up everything. There's so much to just
clean up. Some thought that Rodgers leaked it.
Well, and real quick, I'll tell you this. Two teams that were on the same dysfunctional organization track that have tightened it up are the Browns, in some ways, and the Dolphins. These were two absolutely disastrous franchises. They've got leadership in there that buttoned up the leaks.
Mm.
They parked the clown car away.
Mm. Yeah.
And it can no longer be found. That cannot be said about the Jets right now. And look, no one talks about it, but the Giants are actually a more disastrous football team, talent-wise and things like this, same record. But the Jets just outshine them in absolute absurdity.
Yes.
In the same market.
Never mind.
Yes, it's bad. Yeah. They outshine them in absurdity so that the Giants get overlooked for all the bad stuff that's happening there.
And
you can't fix stupid.
I do this every December where I hit this frustration level. And then I also have to think to myself, but the Rodgers thing had so much, the injury blew up everything.
Oh, yeah.
So just kind of, I'm trying to like take a step back. Emotional on the show the other day. This is a lost season. And let's see what happens this winter.
This is your place to be emotional.
Rodgers also not practicing Wednesday. And
good.
Doesn't seem like there's...
Everybody take a deep breath.
That probably was never happening.
Take a step back.
Yeah.
It's time to wipe this season away and see if they could fix things next year.
Again. All right.
Again. And again. And again. Finally in the news, my favorite coach, Mike McCarthy... he had appendix surgery, or has that coming up, after experiencing abdominal pain Wednesday morning. As a result, he is going to be, in a hospital and getting a procedure done. And the hope and the plan is that he will be coaching Sunday night against the division rival Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I mean, appendicitis is not going to knock Zaddy out of the picture.
Oh, Zaddy, what's wrong with your insides?
What?
I like it.
Well, if you must know, Frags, it was an abdominal pain, and it's appendicitis. So, there you go.
Get well soon, Zaddy.
There could be kids listening to this. That's what's happening in the news. Greg, do you have anything to add?
How can you top that? Yeah, you can't. That you got to leave it with Frag.
You don't want to be the next person to speak after she speaks.
Yeah, in play-by-play terms, just let it breathe.
Exactly.
All right, let us take a break, and then we'll get into everything else.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
It's time for your boy joining some heroes. Steve Weiss.
I don't even remember this one.
Welcome back to Around the NFL.
Steven Weiss.
There we go.
Does anybody call you Steven Weiss?
Your mom? My wife, my mother.
Oh. Like when they're mad at you?
Yeah, so say Steven might be
Steven.
In a little bit of hot water there.
It depends.
Yeah. Well, it's a fluid situation.
It could be like Steven or it could be like Steven.
Ooh.
Well, that's true too. Bring Frags back in here. All right. So. With Steve Weiss with us, I thought this is a perfect time to bring back one of the war horses segments for Around the NFL. It's been a while. We've done it on the live show a couple times, but not. Yeah. It's been a while since it's been in the studio. Hit it, Robbie!
Live from Inglewood, California, it's time for everybody's favorite game show,
What's More Likely?
Right. Yes. What's more likely? A game where we present two realities in the NFL, and it's simple. I mean, which one is more likely to be what occurs? And I kept mine in the regular season, but it's anywhere you want to go with it. Steve, you are our guest, so I defer to you to get us going.
Oh, I got. No, this is a 2024 offseason. More likely.
Okay.
All right. More likely. The Jets pass on a quarterback with their top draft choice, or Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas will be the ones making that decision whether to pass or draft.
What's more likely?
Oh, that's a tough one. I thought on our last show that Saleh, it was kind of the end of the road for Saleh. Because I thought, based on it was kind of the wonky reporting, it was just a sloppy day, that Wilson had told him he didn't want to play and was kind of, you know, putting Saleh out directly like that. I don't think that's what happened now that we have more clarity, but I still think if they lose out, I think I got a feeling that Woody is going to potentially act off that. So that said, if they have a top five pick, they got to take a quarterback, right? This is a tough one.
I don't think so. I think it's...
The quarterback's 40.
I'm going more likely Saleh or... Wait, it's more likely Saleh or Douglas are making the pick or not?
Are making the decision whether to use the pick on the quarterback.
I guess I'm going to go quarterback then. I don't think either is particularly likely. I think either Saleh or Douglas or both will be gone if I have to guess. But I actually think Aaron Rodgers being there, I guess it depends. I'm thinking first round. If Aaron Rodgers is there... He's not going anywhere.
Right.
They're all in. They're still all in.
They are.
And he answered the question about the coaches a little more noncommittal to Pat McAfee this week than I maybe would have expected. It wasn't anything noteworthy, but it wasn't like a full-throated, I'm the boss, they better be here. It was kind of like, that's out of my hands. And to me, he's there, so you're not taking a first-round quarterback. Maybe you take a developmental guy later.
I tend to think the latter, that Saleh and Douglas will be making the decision. The reason I think they'd stick around, well, they look like a disaster to all of us on the outside. I don't know what the owner thinks on the inside. There's been so much change there. It's like the fly in the ointment is with Aaron Rodgers attached to Nathaniel Hackett, attached to big chunks of the rock, like certain wide receivers that are there. It's like if you want to keep Aaron Rodgers happy over the offseason, which was a chore for the Packers, do you want to? It looks bad right now, but if a whole new org comes in and blows a lot up and says, we'll build around Aaron Rodgers, but forget Nathaniel Hackett, forget all his buddies. I don't know if that's what you do with one more year of Rodgers. Do you try to say, Saleh's defense has been good. The thing he was brought in to do, he's done a pretty good job with. Do you give it one more try?
Well, he's brought in to be the head coach. That's part of the problem. Like he's
right.
He needs to be more, they need to be more globally successful at this point after 3 years. I'll say it's more likely, all they have to do is like fall into one or two wins. And I think that will give Johnson enough to say, all right, just wipe this whole thing. They lose out, I think everyone's gone.
Well, here's why I think Saleh and Douglas are back. Who's going to take that job knowing that you got Aaron Rodgers for 1 year? And you're not taking a quarterback to build on.
Yeah, well, you could also spin it. One. You know, you got Aaron Rodgers and a very good defense. There's ways to...
Again, who's going to take that job for 1 year?
A lot of job openings, too. Yes. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. All right, here's another one. What's more likely? The Kansas City Chiefs get the number one seed in the AFC. And they've gotten it how many years in a row now?
Five.
5 in a row. Patrick Mahomes has played very few road games in his life.
Zero.
Yeah.
Postseason games, I believe.
What about the New England AFC title game?
That was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That was in Kansas City. Wow. Yeah. He's never played on the road in the playoffs. So the Chiefs get the number one seed to keep that streak intact for Mahomes. Or the struggling Kansas City offense does not score more than 31 points the rest of this season.
Mm.
What's more likely?
31 points in a game versus total. That would be a real problem.
They would not make the playoffs.
The Patriots would challenge you on that one. I'll jump in and say it's more likely they don't score 31 points. Just because they have the Bills this week, and maybe I'm projecting too hard. I think that's a tough game for them. I've been high on the Bills making a stretch run. That would get them to 5 losses. At that point, the Ravens and the Dolphins, but I'm thinking especially the Ravens, are in pretty good shape. I think that I just haven't seen a team, and I know they scored 31 against the Raiders. They did it against the Chargers. They did it against the Bears. So it's happened 3 times this season. They have some pretty easy matchups at the end of the season. Raiders, Bengals, Chargers, and they might be needing to play. So those are pretty bad defenses. It's close, but I'm going to go more likely they don't get the one seed.
Okay.
That's tough, though.
I just believe that they're going to wind up with the one seed somehow. I look at the other games, though. They've scored in the last 5, like 9, 17, 19, and 21. I don't see their offense like figuring this out just because there's 5 more games. Like the part of the year where it's like they kind of do what they do well, and what they don't do well, I don't know how you fix it with the personnel not changing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they get to 31. I think the AFC goes to Florida, either Miami or Jacksonville.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Dolphins' schedule. They should click off another 3 before things get really nitty-gritty. Ravens' schedule's a murderer's row.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they get to 31. I think they have a couple big games. And also checking the previous 31, I think there were some defensive scores in there, too. I think the question was the Chiefs' offense.
Mm.
But I still think the Chiefs' offense ends up getting a 31. They will not get the number one seed.
Mm-mm. Although I am looking at the tiebreakers, which is a point in the Chiefs' favor.
Yes.
They always seem to find a way. Yeah. Don't they?
6-1 in the conference. So they've had 3 losses.
And they beat Miami.
To the NFC North?
And they beat Miami. And they beat Jacksonville head-to-head.
Right, and they have the head-to-head win. So I maybe already would change my answer, but it's too late.
All right, need an official answer now.
Now that I'm going to go over 31 points. As well.
All right, Greg, you're up.
Okay, I will look at the MVP award and say a non-quarterback wins the MVP or the Bengals make the playoffs.
What's more likely?
I think it's more likely, and we should cross-check these before the show because something similar will be coming up, but I think it's more likely the Bengals will make the playoffs.
Pivot now.
I will not be pivoting. I wrote this in a
think on the fly. We're, you know, performers.
I did it my way. You'll see.
Let's see. Well, Cincinnati 6-6. They are obviously in the mix from that standpoint.
10th right now.
10th right now. They win the tiebreaker over Buffalo based on head-to-head win percentage. Right now, Denver's ahead of them. Houston's ahead of them. Indy's ahead of them. Cleveland's ahead of them.
They're 2-6.
They get to play a bunch of those teams.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's ahead.
But again, you're looking at this rationale versus what the other more likely scenario.
Right. So the other one.
But I'm saying all these teams I'm mentioning don't frighten me in like how are they going to hopscotch past them? I think this is more likely, and I don't want to sniff too much of the Jake Browning and glue right now, but. That was a fun watch, and I'd like to see where that goes. And, Tyreek, CMC.
Probably those two guys.
Those are the two guys. I just think a quarterback's going to take that, whether it's Brock or Tua or whomever. I think it's more likely Cincinnati finds a way.
Yeah, more likely the Bengals get in. They're not going to give the MVP to a non-quarterback. It's just not going to happen.
People keep saying that as if they are not the people that are deciding. So...
Let's decide it.
We're the people.
Greg, why do you think there's an offensive player of the year to give it to the non-quarterback?
I keep hearing that, but it's from the people that, like, essentially that decide it.
Who are all these people?
These are, like, if we, and by, I mean the media, like, we kind of decide on some level, it becomes consensus. If people are just stumping for it, then it'll get happen.
Not us, because Bob Glauber wouldn't let us into the Pro Football Writers.
Well, I get it, though, but I think it's the people that have microphones, people on shows as influential as this one and people as influential as you.
Well, I mean, look, if Tyreek Hill goes over 2,000, we're like, wow, that's never happened before. but he wouldn't got 2,000 without Tua. So Tua is the MVP. That's just how it's just how it goes. Because there are definitely people, non-quarterbacks, who should have been MVPs before. Because some people were arguing, how can you be an MVP if you're not the best player on your team?
I think that's legit.
Well, yeah. Is it though? I mean, who are some of the people who've won it? I guarantee you right now, if Dak Prescott wins MVP, is he the best player on their team?
This year, yeah.
No, he's not. Offensively. Micah Parsons is the best
player. Well, but that's...
I think he's the most valuable.
See, now you're throwing...
Yes. He's the most valuable person on the Cowboys, though. Dak Prescott. That would
every quarterback is.
Tyreek Hill this year.
That's the argument that no like non-quarterback's going to win it.
Yeah.
Then that's why the quarterback is going to win the award, even if the Bengals finish 10th.
It is a unique year that there aren't any totally crazy quarterback seasons that, you know, are
going to sweep
people away, but maybe it ends up being Dak. I think that's more. He's like fourth or fifth right now, and McCaffrey's like seventh, I think. They're not
way to get the people talking, Greg.
By the way,
good one.
Yards per route run, which is kind of a weird stat, but yards per route run.
Yes.
Like, how many yards do you get every time you just go out for a route?
Right.
Tyreek Hill this year is about 4.25 yards per route run. That is more than a yard. So that's like 25%. It's more than a yard better than any wide receiver in the last decade, and basically more than a yard better than any wide receiver ever. In the last like 20 years. And the next closest people, by the way, are Tyreek Hill, like last year. Like, but still, like his season is that far ahead in terms of like efficiency of him on the field than like
I feel like every time I'm watching Tyreek Hill catch the ball, he's 25 to 30 yards downfield, frying a secondary personnel.
One of the smartest personnel moves that any player made in the last decade is Tyreek saying, "I'm not going to the Jets. I want to go to the Dolphins." And I don't know if Mike McDaniel is there yet. It might have been maybe. But that couldn't have worked out better for him in all ways. All right, Mark.
This will be a study in relativism because there is a similar concept here. But let's just go with it. Jake Browning. What's more likely? Jake Browning goes Brock Purdy on our ass and in nothing short of a visual feast on the gridiron, unfurls 4 wins down the stretch, falling in a thriller to the Chiefs. They don't get that one.
Right.
But executing backup-on-backup crime in wins over Minshew's Colts, Josh D's Vikings, Trubisky's Steelers, and Flacco's Browns. Okay. He goes 10-7 and prance into the wild card. Or, before he is named Coach of the Year, DeMeco Ryans and his star pupil C.J. Stroud take out the Ravens and Dolphins in January before facing the Chiefs in the AFC title tilt. TBD on that result, but the world becomes attuned to the unusual skill set of former PFF numbers bod turned play calling wizard Bobby Slowick, who, arm in arm with Ryans, wins assistant coach of the year. Stroud, no shocker, wins offensive rookie of the year, and the three immediately buy a string of Houston-based Ford dealerships to funnel passive income into their checking accounts for years to come. Stroud also becomes the new face of a Dell computer ad campaign attempting to tell the nation, "Hey guys, desktop computers are cool again. Clear off that oak desk and plant one of our 3-foot by 2-foot hulking technology centers where that QuickBook used to be." In the ad, Stroud comes across as a capable and easy to believe thespian.
Think.
What's more likely?
I'm going A just because CJ Stroud, you can't go to Dell because it's a Microsoft league.
Good point.
See, Steve just knows these things.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I think you just nailed it.
I mean, look, you put a whole bunch of you know, addendums on there, which nicks out the latter scenario.
Right. If it was just Texans making the conference title game compared to the Bengals winning 4 straight and then making the playoffs at 10-7.
I mean, you could base it there if you'd like.
They were very – well, I can't.
Okay.
Because you read a lot of specific things that I personally don't think – I mean, even if the desk is not oak –
right,
it all it's falls over. Apart.
Yeah,
it all true. Falls apart.
That's a problem. I would say this though, like coach of the year, assistant coach of the year for what he's done with Stroud and Bobby Slowick, and Stroud winning what he should win. Like if not MVP at some level, it keeps going. But offensive rookie of the year or player.
This is my principle that all segments with Sessler all end up in the same exact place. There's like a everything kind of just funnels to the same spot every time. I do like this is your new thing. The Texans are your team. They're not going to win the division. They're going to win a playoff game. Good luck to you. I hope it works out.
I think that's more likely than the Bengals
Yeah,
winning 4 out of 5, which also could happen. But the the Texans.
Yeah, we can't get too sucked in by the Browning thing. It was one game.
This is a weak year. It's reminding me more and more. I keep thinking of 2011, which I always think about. There were no good teams in 2011.
Yeah.
By the time you got to the playoffs. And I don't think we're there because the 49ers are great. Cowboys are great. But in the AFC, we'll see how it all shakes out. Like, you could see a surprising team in the AFC championship game.
Sure.
It would not be crazy.
Yep.
Sure.
I see you trying to minimize that second Giants title. I see what you do.
Multiple shows in a row. He's
my point, it's not the Giants. Yeah. I said it off camera, I believe.
You've said it many times. I've let it pass each time.
No.
But now that you've said it for the third time in about a week.
That was one of the worst Patriots teams of the Belichick era, and they were like a drive away from winning the Super Bowl. And it was a huge disappointment, but that was a bad, bad Patriots team. One of the worst defenses in the league, and they were like a drive away from winning the Super Bowl. Some years don't
just
have dominant teams.
Oh, there were no good teams, so that must mean the team that won the Super Bowl actually wasn't that good that year.
You got your point.
You got him.
He did go like 9-7.
Another zinger from Rosenthal.
They also became better and better, though. As their pass rush by they were the worst rushing team, I think, in the league, too.
Steve, back
to you. They were outscored that season. I think it's fair to say they weren't like a dominant team.
I mean, they weren't an all-time great team, but that was...
They had a great run.
It was a fun Super Bowl. I enjoyed the playoffs. A lot of good games. Well, save it for the 2011 podcast.
Can you imagine living with me?
32nd, I think, in DVOA defensively, the Patriots that year.
Were we even using that metric back then?
I was. Oh. Hey, now.
I think they go back in time with it, too.
All right, Steve, next one.
Well, this dovetails beautifully into my next one. More likely, Bill Belichick retires because so few teams pursue him in the offseason to be their head coach.
Whoa.
Or Mac Jones remains in New England in 2024 as their quarterback.
Oh, man. What? Jeez. I mean, Steve.
That was a good one. Does he have to start Mac Jones or is he?
He's on the
team.
There's no starter. He's on the team.
I'll go Mac Jones then.
Yeah, I would find it almost impossible to think. And sometimes, you know, fans and analysts and people on the outside aren't seeing what's really going on inside the league, that maybe there wouldn't be a big market for Belichick. But the idea that he would almost be blackballed out of the league.
No. I didn't see blackballed. Honest to God, do you think there are going to be teams lining up? Do you think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I think absolutely there's an owner out there, or six, that would say, "Wait, I would love to have Bill Belichick running my team."
Explain this facial expression Steve is making.
There's definitely an ulterior motive behind this.
Come on, Steve.
I think
give
we're going to have as many openings from the coaching angle as we've had in a long time. It just feels like we're heading there. But I do wonder, because like every like Belichick biography talks about how it was drilled into his mind and heart in Cleveland that the ownership matters so much. So like some of these teams that are out there that might want him, he may not want in reverse.
1,000%.
The only thing is there is that Don Shula record sitting out there.
Yeah, you know, and I know people say he wants it like this, but does he want it that bad to kind of go through? Because first off, if you've seen how great he's developed quarterbacks in the past couple of years, why would a team like Carolina want him? You're stuck with Bryce Young, right? Okay, so then... All right, Tampa, they're going to go through a cap cleansing. They're going to have to get are you going to bring it? Maybe. That's one of the few teams. But of all of these other things, I think the fact that you said, Mark, ownership is huge to him. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to want the Chargers job, and that's where, like, Ben Johnson or someone's going to come coach this quarterback. Again, that's what I think. Guys like Ben Johnson, believe it or not, Dan Quinn. There's going to be some defensive coaches, guys like Dan Quinn. They are going to be on shorter list than Bill Belichick.
Hmm.
So that's why I think this, to me, is the bigger story. Not how the parting is going to happen, but how many teams actually are going to give him a call saying, do you want to come be our coach? I think there'd be more teams saying, come be our director of football operations. And I could see a team like the Giants doing that, especially since they take his advice so much, some of their coach hirings and other hirings. Come run our overall operation.
That's his roots.
Right, instead of being the head coach.
Well, and he has a longtime assistant is coaching the team.
Yeah.
They always sort of forget about with the Belichick tree, that Dable was there for like 14 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Belichick and Parcells' careers are so intertwined. That's what Parcells did at the end. He was off the sideline and running from upstairs as well. I could see that. But I also see such a Like, Belichick's such a student and a lover of the sport. Like, having the opportunity to have that number one.
So was Don Shula. Like, how many people came after Don Shula?
Right.
So was Tom Landry.
Belichick will require an ownership humbling himself a little bit, which is not always easy for ownership to do, and possibly clearing out the entire front office structure that exists. And that's hard. That's a pain in the butt. Maybe people don't want to do that. And I can't quite imagine Belichick's like, oh yeah, I'll go work for, you know, Scott Fitter. It's like, that's not happening.
No. All right, here we go. What's more likely? I don't know. This one, we'll see. We'll see what you guys say about this one. What's more likely? The Green Bay Packers. Mark's ears perked up. Steal the NFC North or the Buffalo Bills steal the AFC East?
Whoa.
What's more likely?
Bills.
Why?
I just believe that we haven't seen.
What if we just moved on?
No, I think it's kind of self-explanatory. The answer is like they've been doing this for years, and like you'd need the Dolphins to kind of collapse. Obviously,
they play Week 18.
They play Week 18. Bills beat the Dolphins 48-20, so they would clinch the head-to-head if they beat them Week 18. So that means they just got to tie them.
They got to get to within one.
They just have to tie them in the standings, and they would win if they win Week 18.
Three up is rich, but I do feel like we're going to get another version of the Bills, who I've been very down on out of this buy in this whole
situation. How about Detroit? They may be a little more vulnerable than we could have thought a month ago, and the Packers heating up.
They're also separated by three games. So, you know.
I would see the Packers making the run because they're starting to play in all facets, especially defensively. Great situation of football. Jordan Love looks real. I don't think the Lions will collapse. I think they're getting ready to regather. But I just think Miami's just going to go ahead and click off, you know, the rest of the way. They may lose once.
It'd be a pretty huge collapse.
Well, they have Titans, Jets the next 2 weeks, which, you know, they're going to be heavy favorites. But then they have Cowboys, Ravens.
Yeah.
And their Bills in this scenario would have to run the table. They would have to win every game. I think they're capable of it, but at Dallas, home for Cowboys, that's tough.
What if they split those games and then went out?
Four out of
probably
five.
Not.
They play 4 out of 5 at home.
They would need,
and you better believe they are going to be playing for home field advantage.
Right.
They do not want to go anywhere else.
Unless the Bills went out, the Dolphins would have to stub their toe against the Jets or the Titans and lose their hard games. They'd have to lose 3 out of 4 before even facing the Bills.
They've done that a few times this year.
It's been a weird year. I think the likelihood of one of these things happening is probably greater than people think. I don't have a hot take on either, but to me, the Lions are a little more crickety. Is that a word? So I'm going to go, that's more like a rickety. Yeah. Just like the foundation is a little
rickety. Okay.
Their defense is not big.
Yeah. Like they were quite like, when was the last time they played a good defensive game? Like
it's been weeks.
it's like 7 or 8 weeks.
Mark, it's like a fortress that's on like wooden planks, like, you know,
rickety
at the base. Yeah. It's like,
I know what rickety means, but like,
is that the Lions?
I know you went crickety. So
that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Termity.
You get blown out. You get the doors blown off you by the Ravens. You have to win on the last possession against the Chargers. You know, you have to win on the last second against the Bears. Same thing against the Saints. I mean, these are not great teams. So just a little rickety.
Yeah. Saints can't
rickety.
Greggy.
This one's pretty simple. Kyler Murray is the Cardinals quarterback next year, or a rookie quarterback is the Cardinals quarterback.
What's more likely?
Yeah, I thought that these, you know, it's they're genuinely looking at Kyler Murray as like with new fresh eyes. You've got all new people there, and they've done it quietly, like beyond the tanking thing this year. They already like accrued a bunch of draft picks in the previous draft. I always thought they were like, no matter what happened with the season, they were in good position to leverage those to get the quarterback that they want. I think new coach, new quarterback buys you time, buys you years. Like new coach attached to a Kyler Murray experience that's always been kind of up and down and weird is a little more perilous. You could get assets for him. I think he's very tradable. And I think they're going to go rookie. I think it's like, we're starting this experience over.
I put Kyler in the same category, Steve, as Justin Fields, where they have maybe some control of their fate, but they are going to have to ball out to end the season and change some minds in that building. I think it's more likely he does, though, get traded And they start over.
I think it's more likely Kyler's back. I mean, everything I've heard is that him and the OC really get along. They've kind of designed some things. And look at Kyler Murray's win-loss record. When he's on the field, he wins ball games.
2-2 this year.
Yeah, I mean, he wins ball games. So I think it could be a situation to buy them more time to say, let's get other pieces around him. We've got one more full year to evaluate Kyler. But if we've got to move off of him after 2024, we at least have pieces around him where we can go out into free agency or something or trade up and get a quarterback, because now we've got all the other pieces we need, or more of the pieces that we need to be competitive.
Right. It is like, it's telling that they, you know, with very clear eyes and comments said, he's going to come back and play this season. We're going to get a look at him versus, you know, some sort of phony thing where, oh, we're not sure he's ready and he's quietly never appeared.
The contract makes it trickier to trade. So I think it's... I'll be talking about him a little on NFL Plus this Thursday in our
crematorium.
Oh, yeah.
Check it out. I think the way he's playing, he's cementing his spot.
I agree.
Because he's just playing too well that they're not going to want to deal with the what's behind door number two. And, oh, by the way, it's a great receiver draft. Maybe you have the third pick. Maybe you get Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, yeah. You could give him a nice weapon.
Yeah. All right, last one, Mark.
Okay. All right, A, this is a three-parter, and it's not as long as the other one. I'm not going to make you sit here for 4 minutes. A, the Super Bowl features a backup quarterback.
Okay.
Okay, not a person you went in thinking was your starter.
That's
okay.
Backup.
There's a lot of that going on. Either one of two people, Dan or Mark, pass away from what the NFL reports as natural causes while sitting through Steelers Patriots on Thursday night.
Dan Mark die. Okay.
Or pros pro reporter and noted wine connoisseur Steve Weiss, this offseason, announces the unveiling of his own handcrafted Pinot Noir.
It's coming.
Yeah, a zesty, rich blend of Northern Californian grapes. Wine drinkers go utterly bonkers for this new offering entitled First and Drunk.
Ooh.
You know what? I think Steve and his wife are a little bit too classy to have drunk in the title.
I thought about that, but I think it's a marketplace. I mean, when you go look for wine and you're with like some friends, you kind of, it's the label, it's the name, and you're like, you try that at least.
It's Steve, you know, holding a football on the cover.
Yeah, if we're drunk, we could sell it in, you know, your corner market store, some bodegas around, you know, if we're putting drunk on there. And by the way, I'd be getting the grapes in the Central Valley. That's where the Pinot grapes grow, Mike.
Mm. See, this guy.
See, there we go.
You know. I challenged him with a wine concept, and he came right back with facts.
I've been drunk with Steve and D in the past.
Yeah, well, we've all been there. We've all been
So I'm not saying they're above, you know, getting loose and having a good time. I think that's the most likely, that Steve has some type of wine operation in his future. Ooh. I hope you and I survive Thursday night football.
I am concerned, but I think that's the least likely.
And I think it is certainly possible we get a backup in the Super Bowl, but I'm holding out hope we're going to get a superpower matchup with healthy stars.
I mean, I guess I'd go back up. You could also have him injured, like, in the playoffs or conference championship. And I just think Steve's at a point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need to be adding jobs right now, do you? I mean, you got a lot going on.
There's too much horticulture and farming that have to
just
go
like,
on.
I just feel like that's too much.
But did you put a time on this? This could be the, you know,
I said this offseason, and I think it'd be a situation where you're not, you know, stomping grapes like that news person that fell thing. You're like, you'd outsource the operation, but it would be your name and your powerful brand.
Ooh, all right. Well, so. I mean, that might be possible. I'm still going to go backup quarterback. I still have visions of Nick Foles in my head. So it could possibly happen.
How about Teddy Bridgewater for the Lions there in the Super Bowl? Oh.
Teddy's been off the grid this year.
Then Denmark.
Well, a lot of teams could use a Teddy right about now. The Lions
did that well.
They
did and that drafted
well. They haven't needed one.
And drafted one.
It's good to have somebody.
That'd be a long Super Bowl week.
All right, good stuff. Good. What's more likely? Do we have the grapes lady, by the way, still on the board?
I don't think so.
We had grapes lady. What do you mean, I don't think so? Do you know
I just mean it's been so long. Isn't that like 7 years
ago? It wasn't actually that long ago.
Oh, really?
We used it for a segment. I can't remember what it was.
It's a grizzly set. It wasn't that long ago, actually. I feel like it was just a couple years ago.
No, it was this year, I think.
Was it?
All right, let's get to that Thursday night football game that Mark and I will be co-helming on around the NFL tomorrow evening. It is the New England Patriots, 2-10. Traveling to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. Steelers got to have it. Steelers, you know, Steve, as Tomlin's wont to do after a really bad game, he comes after the team hard. He puts himself in front of the line. I need to be better, but we were JV. And I just wonder, here's my curiosity, because I almost want the game to be really bad now.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, so it's like, do the Pittsburgh Steelers play down to the level of their opponent with a backup quarterback themselves now, Mitch Trubisky? I could see this one getting real grisly, low scoring, going down to the wire. Maybe that's giving the Pats too much credit.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
You know, so we were just talking about stomping grapes. So let's pretend that Tomlin and the Steelers defense is the winemaker. Okay. They are going to be dialing it up to stomp some grapes. Okay, with you know, Bailey Zappe, you can see a lot of Alex Highsmith, TJ Watt. It's not going to be kind because the Patriots can't move the ball. There it is.
This poor woman.
Happy. Or Bailey Zappe. Or Bailey Zappe.
See, that's no, Steve, you got to outsource the graping.
We're gonna outsource. Yeah. It. No, there will be two defensive scores by Pittsburgh. Mm.
Two defensive
scores.
Fire up your fantasy D's.
Hey, you know, Mark knows that the Browns week two.
Oh,
that happened.
Oh, yes. Yep.
So it will turn out to be a something sloppy like that. But defensively, I think the Steelers know this is one.
And no Ramondre Stevenson, Greg. No. That was the only thing they could do on. He's got a high ankle sprain. I don't know if we're gonna see them again. Here
Zeke,
it is, Greg.
Baby.
The last 5 weeks, Patriots scoring 17, 17. I don't even know if there's a defensive score in here. 17, 17, 6, 7, 0.
Right. You mentioned the over-under was 30. The games that they've played the last 3 weeks haven't gone over 17.
No.
Because their defense is playing pretty well. Yeah. They actually have the number one rush defense in the league in terms of yards per carry allowed. So that is what Pittsburgh's best at is running the ball.
That's what I'm saying.
But offensively, and Zappe was an upgrade. Even they it shows you how bad they are that they literally didn't score a point. And Zappe was unquestionably a little better than Mac Jones had been. They had two drives, which really just to me typified where the Patriots are at. A 13 play drive that didn't pass the 30, and then an 11 play drive that ended at the 43. That is where they are at.
Whoa.
It is just. Yeah, I'm going to go Steelers 16, Patriots 11. They cover the
They get on the board?
Spread. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go.
I think that's how it projects.
That's a lot
and
of points
so that's
them.
Why it probably will be like 31 or nothing. It's like I
but that's even that's under. That's under that. Even.
But when it's like the Patriots just are so inept and hard to watch on offense. Like they've gone 41 straight possessions without a passing touchdown.
We're going to get 25 carries from Ezekiel Elliott.
It's going to be a lot of Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of Alex Highsmith, too. I mean, they've given up 12 sacks to the Patriots in the last 3 weeks. And, like,
right.
He's been their more numbers wise productive
Zappe,
pass rusher.
The one thing he doesn't is get rid of the ball. He just sort of holds
it. It's not going to go well.
Here's the good news, everybody. And again, I said it on Monday and I'll say it again. You're thinking to yourself, I listen to ATN every week, I listen to every episode. But you know what? I'm going to clear my Thursday night plate, my Friday morning plate. I'm not going to listen to the recap of that game. No. Mistake. Because me
mistake
and the Cessdog are going to cook something up as an auxiliary seg.
As long as you survive.
Well, that's true. But
well,
that would
be just
sign.
Like sharing memories of what the other guy.
It's such a flexible operation that early in the week, we had come up with what would have been a killer seg.
Right.
But then the news cycle forced us to talk about some of that in real time when we
rotate.
Bring the news to them very quickly. So we're just pitching. We're coming up with new ideas now, and we're stomping. We're drinking the first and drunk wine.
Oh,
we're doing
oh,
need to do.
Oh.
So.
All right, don't blow.
They got to get Malik Cunningham in the game.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been taking some snaps.
That'd be visible.
Don't blow this, Belichick, because I want that top two pick, and he has. You know, it would be a callback performance to some very big like owning of Mike Tomlin in this Steelers operation moments, which. Dotted much of the 2010.
Belichick's going Lovie Smith, man. He's like, I'm not making this pick, man. I am not giving them.
He is trying to get this win.
All right, so check out Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, and of course, game coverage anchored by Colleen Wolf, not with us today, on NFL Network. Okay, here we go. Before we say goodbye, always fun. Steve's here. It's special. Let's open up the mailbag and,
this is going to be great.
All right. Producer Eric, who, by the way, Producer Eric is more likely to start for the Patriots next season than Mac Jones. I feel confident saying that. Yes or no?
Well, not more likely.
Well, I know.
I mean, he's missing a large part of one of his fingers.
But not his throwing finger. He's got to spin it with the right hand.
It's a good counter.
Is it? No, it is your right hand.
It is my right hand.
Oh,
but don't they say it's the... The index finger, that is the important one.
Did you know that our producer lost part of his thumb in a slicing accident in the kitchen?
I didn't.
And yeah. How's the growth on that, by the way?
It's, dude, I was actually having a talk with my wife about it yesterday. It's looks pretty normal.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like it has a little Gumby
point. A little
point
bit misshapen, but not
yeah,
too
but
did you know that body parts grow back if they're cut off? I didn't know that. Like, this has baffled me from the start.
I mean, I know, like, you know, your liver can regenerate. Yeah. I didn't.
If I took
that,
it to the
like
nub,
finger,
like the knuckle, yeah. I'm assuming I wouldn't be, like, in the same situation. But, you know, I took off a slice, and it is the. I looked at the picture the other day of the actual incident, and based off that to this, it's night and day. It's kind of crazy, to be honest.
Any chance you could grow a second thumbnail?
That would be something. We'll check back in a couple months.
I'm holding out hope. I'm holding out hope.
Yeah.
We could charge for that. little side hustle. All right, let's get to it, Eric. First question up. All right, this is from Death Metal Minivan. Niners are clearly the best team, but the universe refuses to let Kyle Shanahan have nice things. So how are they eventually going to lose? I do think the Niners are the best team, but it's a little bit too much to say, like, oh, what could possibly get in the way? You know, there are some really good teams in the NFC alone atop that conference.
I think for maximum pain, it's a Ravens 49ers Super Bowl rematch.
Oh, you're
just
going
so that
there.
You can just like relive. Because that to me seemed it wouldn't be painful necessarily for Shanahan related to the 49ers, but for the fan base to have the same team kind of beat you, maybe it's in the exact same way.
I mean,
where they get down inside the 10-yard line late and they throw a few
it would be
Purdy
fresh,
overgoes Ayuk.
It would be fresh pain to lose to the Chiefs, which just happened under Shanahan.
That's true too.
Right.
I think you get there all the way. That's how I see it.
That'd be tough to. I can't deal with that.
Can you just picture it's like stone-faced Mike Shanahan with that shock of white hair in the luxury suite on the Super Bowl, just looking down at his son like, do not disappoint me again. I have multiple titles. You need to win one on your own. Like one of those things.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, based on, if that were the scenario.
Can you see that, Steve?
I could absolutely see it. I could absolutely. The most painful ways for Brock Purdy to get hurt again in the NFC Championship is the Eagles.
Don't put that energy in the air, Steve. All right, next up.
Then we get Sam Darnold starting to see the backup quarterbacks.
Second. Kevin McCarthy asks, who will be the vaunted team no one wants to meet in the playoffs from the NFC and AFC this season? So this is a team that is, I guess to make this work, is right now on the outside looking in, right?
Well, it's just sort of the Bills pop up as like, you don't want the Bills
a team that
like
has to get hot and like really catch
fire.
They're
not the number one seed right now. Right.
Right.
I think it's Texans personally. I think they're going to keep just going.
One playoff win, you said. Maybe more.
I said two in that scenario. That they went to the AFC title game.
Maybe
and I didn't say what would happen in that.
And I guess Green Bay would work as the
Packers would
as,
be the Packers would be the team.
If you have high level quarterback play.
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I would have been super into the Vikings in this case. Now we got to see what Dobbs looks like. Yeah. But think about this.
It's a good call though.
Don't get too down on the Vikings. I know it's been a rough couple weeks. The team around the NFL is getting Justin Jefferson back. And that is going maybe be a difference maker. And they get hot again. And the D's so much better with Flores this year. All right, what's next? All right, this is from Hoyt Hans van der Merel. Can I nominate Tua to be considered for the Superstar Club debate next summer? At current time, which QB would be considered to take off the list? All right, Steve, I'm going to say, I know you have a connection to Tua. So I want to tee you up on this one. The Superstar Club. Steve is an article I put out every summer on NFL.com where it's a zero-sum game. If I put someone into the Superstar Club, I have to take someone out. So here's who's currently in the Superstar Club if you are going to consider putting Tua in.
Okay.
Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers.
Is this based on just like whatever the upcoming season, kind of like how we choose the 100 for the upcoming year, but we reflect back on what they've done the previous year? So I take Aaron Rodgers off.
Right.
Yeah.
I take Aaron Rodgers off.
It's kind of easy in a way.
But he is such a superstar as he's, made sure to remain throughout.
Hey, after seeing Tua on the Manning cast rock the guitar.
Mm.
Right. He's very versatile.
Tua's there.
Surprising person.
Oh, I took out Dak last year. Frick. Okay, I got to put Dak in too, so I got to take somebody else out.
Yeah, I don't know if
Can't take Josh.
Dolphins fans hate it, but I feel like I still need a little more from Tua here down.
I think the rest of Tua's season will tell the story a lot.
Club. Yeah. For superstar, because his wide receiver is kind of the superstar.
Oh, you're
and his coach.
You're putting him in the Brock Purdy category?
No, no. But which name am I taking out? Yeah, Rodgers would be a good one, but I would maybe put Dak. If Dak ended up winning MVP,
if
who
Dak
knows?
Takes Rodgers, no shame in that one. No shame in that one.
And I'll throw it out there. I know nobody wants to even talk about this.
I know. Well, yeah.
Herbert?
I mean, I think it's been
we're talking
the superstars this time.
I mean, he's the one he's got commercials. He's got TV commercials. Just
got that.
Magnetic. Subway.
It's not that
he's in TV commercials.
It's not his personal skills that have, like, changed this year, though. I think it's just he's in a mess.
It's time to show it.
And I think this 12-inch foot-long is going to be delicious.
Didn't know where you're going with that. All right, next up. All right, Eric Blazel. I think I got that right. What do you think, Mark? Blazel?
Blazel.
Eric, let us know. Who was the most under-the-radar, wickedly talented, off-season free agency signing? I like this one a lot. It's Greggy, this is your world because you do the top 101. Who is the one that kind of maybe you had lower in the list and then ended up being a star this year? Who is it?
I went back to look at the list.
Wickedly talented.
Man, that top 20 is terrible compared to, like, 20 through 50. How about Bobby Okereke? Okay. I don't know if we've said
Okereke.
His name.
Okereke.
We haven't said his name much on this program, but he has been dynamite. We mentioned...
Has he been wickedly talented?
Ebenezer...
maybe the answer's no.
Ebicom for the Colts has been great.
They all have Ebicom. To be very difficult names also. Yeah.
Zach Allen for the Broncos. Although I had him
That's
ranked
a good
quite
call.
High, but he doesn't get a lot of pop, and he's been fantastic.
I mean, to be fair, Travolta didn't know how to say... that woman's name, so that's it fits with the first two.
The one
two
and
here,
the
like
only,
so.
Nadel Azim. All right, what's next?
Jesse Bates, by the way.
That's
ooh,
a good,
another
one.
Good one.
That's
another
a good one. Kaiser White, I like T.J. Edwards, Arden Key.
Parker Stewart asks, hey, Dan, new dad here. Thoughts on kids growing up as fans of their parents' team? I'm a Packer fan, but I live around D.C. Is it cool / fair / acceptable to make the kid follow suit with no other connection? Thanks.
Is he like the Orioles or the Nationals or?
Yeah. So I can only tell you what I did because I'm obviously a New York transplant here in LA, and I did not push the Jets on them at all because I knew, first of all, the Jets are a very difficult fan experience. And two, if all their friends are fans of, a local team, I'm not going to take that away from them. So my eldest son, and you know, the dad juice is still powerful. So it's like they're going to be what is dad like. My eldest son, I would say he's kind of a Jets fan. My youngest son has gravitated toward the Chargers, another pain franchise. And they're also building a facility nearby to where I live. So like I'm like okay with that. And they have a franchise quarterback. Maybe he's a superstar. Maybe he's not. So let them do their own thing. And that's how I've played this. Because if you try to force it, bad news.
Right. My initial thought reading this question is kids have their own minds. Like you can't make children necessarily do anything.
You can try to mold them if you wish. It's not the healthy move to do.
You can try, but it might not be successful. And more importantly, like every kid is different. Like some kids, they might be down with that. Some they're going to have their own thoughts. And then it also could change. Like what they like at 8 might be very different from what they like at 12 because of a lot of things. Like they're going to have their own opinions. My daughter is diehard Rams and my son is more with the Patriots with me and kind of like, comes and goes or whatever, but they're kind of going to do what they want to do. I feel like
my dad he was a Giants fan, but he never pushed the Giants on me. We watched a lot of Giants games together and it was just kind of like doing that with your dad was awesome. But I wouldn't be here if I hadn't gone and picked the Browns back then. A lot of what happened there turned me on to like writing and journalism and the story of those teams and everything else. It's like, so I think you've got to not get in the way of the destiny of your child, whatever it is.
Walker is a fan of Scott Hansen and Red Zone. That's and his fantasy team, which is like a lot of kids. That's his biggest team.
Yeah, my oldest son, I told him, hey, when I was a kid, I loved the Vikings. I lived in Minnesota. And so he's decided to like the Vikings. But my other two kids, since most of their lives are in Atlanta, they love the Falcons. They love the Atlanta Hawks. But the one thing I do not allow, Greg, pardon me.
There we go.
Any Celtics fandom in the house. It is not allowed.
I think that
cannot cheer for the Celtics. You could go outside, but in the crib, Not happy.
I like that. I think there are things that you'd say that won't be part of our family.
You can't
like
be a Red Sox fan in my house. Right.
I pretty much put the kibosh on Lakers. That was the only thing I really put my foot down.
But it's funny, like that kind of is in opposition of everything we were just saying.
Right.
But there's some teams that are just not. No, it's off limits.
Off limits. You cannot have it. It does not work.
All right. What else? Brandon Laurie.
I love this question.
If the NFL started a franchise overseas next season, who would he? Who would you think would make the best head coach for an international audience? Steve, take this one.
Come on, guys. There's only one answer to this. And he's not coaching in the NFL right now.
There you go.
He's coaching at Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin.
What?
How much of a superstar? I'm going Ted Lasso here. Super handsome guy.
What?
Yeah. Who doesn't care what he says or tweets. He's overseas, so he can stick shots at everybody. Okay. He would completely engage with the international audience. We know he's, you know, he will up and leave whatever. Lane Kiffin.
That is a wild one.
That would be,
you know what he is?
So spectacular.
Which I think would pop is he's like uber American. He is the best and the worst of what our country has to offer. Like he would represent.
You know who would have been good too?
A
no longer with us. Mike Leach would be a good guy to send
Mike
over there.
Leach,
he would have been
great.
I think I'd go uber American in the sense of like ship Dan Campbell over there and he'd be out.
He would be a star.
That'd
be good.
Scones and you know
the hooliganism would come back.
Yeah.
I thought of, which who knows, maybe he will get a coordinator and a head coaching job someday. Henry's friend, Aiden Dirty, the defensive line coach of the Cowboys, who's from London.
That's right.
And is legit, you know, grew up there, played in NFL Europe. And
hometown hero angle, I like
having
that.
Having a very successful run here as a position coach right now and move up the ladder.
There we go.
That's a good one as well.
Had some Hard Knocks pop back in the day.
All right, a couple more. What we got? Steve, this is another one I picked for you because you still working with the Falcons?
I am not. I haven't worked with them.
So now you could be completely objective. Here we go.
Would have been.
Tom Marshall, is it the scheme in Atlanta or has Kyle Pitts just not lived up to the hype?
It's both. It's both. Because look, I mean, we could sit there and say, oh, Falcons, they don't know what to do with Kyle Pitts. Well, he's been targeted 68 times. He has 41 catches, right? That's 27 non-catches. Now, that could be bad throws, part of it. They still haven't figured out how to fully incorporate him, whereas, Lions get Sam Laporte in as a rookie, and he's like an anchor of their offense, right? They figured that part out. And meanwhile, Jonnu Smith has 20 fewer targets and only 4 fewer catches and 1 more touchdown than Kyle Pitts. Part of that is on Kyle Pitts, right? He's got to do something better to make himself more of an attractive option and make plays when they come his way. So I think that's a dual issue when it comes to Kyle Pitts and the Falcons.
And he's years into his career.
Correct.
I wish I could remember who said it. And he's still only 23, which is crazy.
Correct.
We'd love to see him with a fresh start.
He's one of those guys. He's going to be the next Sammy Watkins that you're like, he's still 27. We always joke that Sammy Watkins was 27 years old for like 7 straight years.
Yeah.
And I wish I remember who had said this, but I looked out for it when they said it, that in this last game, now Pitts is showing some frustration at times. And the thought was me, he's frustrated about himself, that he is not as explosive as
coming off the knee and things like that,
coming out. And I do think if you watch, like, he still looks like a great athlete, but is he next level crazy athlete that we sort of thought he was?
The unicorn we thought he was going to be. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, last one. Last one. Here we go. And it comes from Faux Real. So Real on X. Could you update the current hot butt rankings, please? Wow. All right. So, and Greg, just to qualify here, I'm not celebrating the lack of job security for these men, and I know their staff and the families involved. This is just the reality of the sport. Okay?
This is the coaches under fire, not actually.
It's more the sound effects doesn't underscore the point you made.
That's show business, baby. All right, so like I said weeks ago, and I've been proven correct, and I think even Schefter reported on it a couple weeks back, this could be unprecedented in terms of how many dismissals we have come Black Monday and around that. We've already lost 2 coaches. I have a list of 10 here, and I'm going to put it in order of hottest butt to pretty hot butt. Ron Rivera 1.
Yeah.
Stop me whenever you disagree, Steve. Brandon Staley 2. Dennis Allen, 3. Mm. Belichick at 4. Eberflus, 5. Sala, 6. Artie Smith, 7.
Ooh. Yeah, he's not going to get fired.
Okay. Todd Bowles, 8. Vrabel at 9. And I know
he's not going to get
fired. Different situation. And Sean McDermott at 10.
Yeah, the McDermott one's going to be real and a real interesting one to watch.
Well, this doesn't feel like... Now, there are always surprises. Like,
yep.
Vrabel, you know, fulfilling Patriots fans' dreams and, like, somehow going there and getting traded or something would God, be a surprise.
Good young quarterback, man. I don't know if you want to leave
but,
that.
I don't think that's going to happen. Like, so maybe there is surprises. But then now I look at this list, and it's like, actually, the over-under is around 8, which is normal, right? I would put Dennis Allen slightly lower than who are the ones right below him, Belichick and Eberflus. They feel like they're almost certainly
I think he's...
Whereas Dennis Allen...
No, I think he's about the final 100 meters of the Green Mile.
I tend to agree because I don't think they'll win the division, but if they won the division...
But here's
then,
the thing.
Maybe.
If you guys are all on that... So Rivera, Staley, Allen, Belichick, Eberflus, that's 5 plus 2 already.
So
already up to 7.
That
happens.
Forgive me. I forgot about the tour guy.
And then, I think he's... Yeah. Well, I think he's done a good job. But like, is Todd Bowles like a rock solid, like sticking around guy?
No.
Yeah, I just think it's like it depends who else becomes available sometimes with these situations.
Correct.
Too, you know?
Correct. If you have that many openings, how deep are you going into the well?
Yeah.
And also, where do they view their development? If they view next year as a little bit of a resetting.
They've got to reset.
Like, do we just want Bowles to get another chance for that year and then say
that's a lot of years. I mean, it's like teams don't spend 2 years just sitting around. They're not. There wasn't a lot of a purpose to this Bucs season so far.
I think they felt they had enough veterans, and their cap was in such a way like, okay, let's give this a shot. But they've got to, them and the Saints have got to have their final salary cap, older player reckoning, coming up in the next year or two, and I think that's when you clean everybody out.
And I'm just gonna say, Arthur Smith, you think he's got enough rope there to survive 3 straight seasons without the playoffs potentially?
If they go 7-10, I think for a third straight year, I think he's in trouble. But I think they'll win enough games this year to contend. I think they'll give him an opportunity to get a quarterback. You know, they stifled the process by flirting with the Deshaun Watson stuff 1 year, and I think kind of, you know, they ended up not getting him.
Yeah.
But I think he will get one more year because I think he can coach. I think, you know, organizing the overall team has taken some time, but if they get a quarterback, they're going to be a dangerous football
team. Their schedule is quite easy too.
It's very
but
manageable.
there is a Hunger Games feel to the end of this NFC South season because it's Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans all playing each other.
Yep.
And feeling like maybe only one coach. You got to win the division to truly feel safe.
Yeah, I still think Arthur Blank will be patient with him. He's been patient with most of his head coaches.
Well, luckily for him, I think they're the most likely. They got a game up, and they got the most talent.
Hunger Games. I would have went with, the Japanese death show on Netflix?
Being a little more current. Squid Games.
Squid Games. I would have went with Squid Games as the pop culture ref there.
Oh, wow. Or we can go classic Lord of the Flies.
Go with that. Throwback. All right. Steve, you've said it all. Please plug, Steve. Where can people see you, hear you, read
Here
you?
We go on Mondays and Thursdays with James Palmer. It is the NFL report.
Check this out.
Check
good
it
stuff.
Out.
Yeah. Good guests on
good
that
stuff.
Show.
You're a good guest. Yeah. Good show. This week we'll have Al Gingold and Derwin James along with Steve Smith and Brian Baldinger on Thursday. Find us on Roku, Tubi, Pluto, and all of your fast channels. And
as a podcast.
You're so much better
and
at this than
us. Yes. Yes. And then on Sundays, Game Day Preview with Andrew Siciliano, Cynthia Freeland. I don't know who our fantasy guest will be this week. I think it's Adam Rank. Not quite sure, but that's a very good show. Great reporters up to kick off. Getting good information there, so good stuff.
There he is.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always a great time.
It's really fun.
And we'll be back Thursday with our Thursday triple header. Stay tuned for that. Until next time. Heed the call. Turn this up in my headphones.
Steve Weiss on the ATN podcast, and everything is all right. Steve Weiss.
Oh, yeah. That guy. I know who you're talking about.
You go into your shower feeling
tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.